Some days I think, how can any of us keep up with all that needs to be done? Emails, voicemails, driving children from place to place, traveling from place to place to see adult children, health issues, paying bills, jobs, social life, alone time, watching your favorite television programs like A Walking Dead that's on tonight at 9 o'clock, reading your favorite authors and more, not to mention committee meetings at UUFSD, emails about UUFSD, social justice work we care about, service to those who need help in our community. Seriously, seriously, how do we find the time to fit all that needs to happen in our short and busy lives? It can feel crazy-making just to keep up, let alone figuring out how to transform anything for the better, for the healthier, for the kinder, for the more caring, more loving, more compassionate, or whatever. So how does it happen? How does the world become a better place? How does all the volunteer work get done at UUFSD? Somewhere along the line, we are all presented with a variety of choices. There are only so many hours in a day, and we all have to make choices. Some choices are based on financial need. Most of us have to work or have had to work in order not to be working now. We have families. We've had to raise children. We've had to pay for school supplies, couches, bed, car, clothes, the food, everything else that makes up a life. Other choices are about obligation. We can often feel obligated to our families in some ways. We can feel an obligation to be on the parent association at our school. We can feel all kinds of obligations that are more based on shoulds in our head than wants. Then there are things like choices about pleasure in life, food, entertainment, friends, travel, all kinds of things that can fill your lives with fun and meaning. There are many choices that can be made for all kinds of other things. Religion would be a good example here on a Sunday morning. That's a big one. Do I want to have a religious life or a spiritual life? What will that look like? What does it mean? How do I live that out? What does it mean for me personally? These are all questions that we face, and there are implications on how our time is spent based on the decisions that we make. The decisions that we make also say something about who we are and where we are in our lives. For instance, when I was in my 20s, the pleasure decisions took a much higher precedent than the obligation decisions. But maybe I can return to those in my 70s or 80s. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. I'm kind of hoping. I don't know. We all go through various stages of life, and based on a wide degree of circumstances, we spend our time at different ways and different times for different needs fulfillment. But let's get back to the moment for that whole transformation thing, which is our theme for this month. Sometimes I wonder, with all this going on, how does transformation actually occur? Last week I said I thought transformation happened through a process of four things. Believing that there is more to the world than just us. Engaging and reflecting with otherness, allowing time for change to take hold, and being intentional about having a place for change to happen. I've read some about the life of Robert Kennedy, someone whose life changed and transformed a great deal. He transformed from the hard-nosed attorney general of the brother of the president to an incredible man of the people presidential candidate. After the death of his brother, he traveled and he saw the otherness that he had not grown up in. And one of those places in South Africa was in 1966, famous for a speech that he gave at the University of Cape Town called the Day of Affirmation speech. He said, there's an Italian philosopher nothing more difficult to take in hand, more perilous to conduct, or more uncertain in its success than to lead in the introduction of a new order of things. Yet this is the measure of the task of your generation, and the road is strewn with many dangers. He then talked about the four dangers that come in the belief that one person can't make a difference. First, he said, is the danger of futility. the belief there is nothing one man or one woman can do against an enormous array of the world's ills, against misery and ignorance, injustice and violence. Yet many of the world's greatest movements of thoughts and action have flowed from the work of a single person. A young monk began the Protestant Reformation. A young general extended an empire to Macedonia, from Macedonia to the borders of the earth. And a young woman reclaimed the territory of France. "Give me a place to stand," said Archimedes, "and I will move the world." Later, Kennedy continued that thousands of Peace Corps volunteers are making a difference in isolated villages and city slums of a dozen countries, and thousands of unknown men and women in Europe resisted the occupation of the Nazis, and many died, but all added to the ultimate strength and freedom of their countries. It is from numberless diverse acts of courage and belief that human history is shaped. And each time someone stands for an ideal, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, they send forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression or indifference. The second danger is that of expediency, of those who say that hopes and beliefs must bend before the immediate necessities. Of course, if we would act effectively, we must deal with the world as it is. We must get things done. But if there was one thing President Kennedy stood for, he said, for that touched the most profound feelings of young people around the world, it was the belief that idealism, higher aspirations, and deep convictions are not incompatible with the most practical and efficient of programs, that there is no basic inconsistency between ideals and realistic possibilities. No separation between the desires of the deepest heart and of mind and the rational application of human effort to solve problems. It's not realistic or hard-headed to solve problems and take actions unguided by ultimate moral aims and values, although we know some who claim to do so. "In my judgment," said Kennedy, "it is thoughtless folly, for it ignores the realities of human faith and of passion and of belief forces ultimately more powerful than all the calculations of our economists or of our generals. Of course, to adhere to standards, to idealism, to vision in the face of immediate dangers, takes great courage and takes self-confidence. But we also know that only those who dare to fail greatly can ever achieve greatly." A third danger is timidity. Few are willing to brave the disapproval of their fellows, the censure of their colleagues, the wrath of their society. Moral courage is a rarer commodity than bravery in battle or great intelligence. Yet it is the one essential vital quality of those who seek to change the world, which yields most painfully to change. And finally, he said, for the fortunate among us, the fourth danger is comfort. The temptation to follow the easy and familiar paths of personal ambition and financial success so grandly spread before those who have the privilege of education. 1966. But that is not the road history has marked for us. There is a Chinese curse which says, may he live in interesting times. Like it or not, we live in interesting times. These are times of danger and uncertainty, but they are also more open to the creative energy than any other time in history. And everyone here will ultimately judge themselves on the effort they have contributed to building a new world and the extent to which their ideals and goals have shaped that effort. You see, our decisions about how we spend our time can ripple out far beyond what we ever dreamed possible, and I would like to turn that gaze here for a moment into this congregation. I want to ask the question again, what are we all here to do? What is the purpose together in this community? According to the core vision statement, something that I wish was on the tip of our tongues but isn't, we're trying to model and promote love, spiritual growth, service, right relations, and sustainable living. Promote and model love, spiritual growth, service, right relations, and sustainable living. And there are plenty of people trying to do that right here at UUFSD. I don't want to start naming names because I might leave someone out, and that would be bad. With the thoughts of Robert Kennedy in my heart and the words of Margaret Mead in my head, I can't believe that the words are not true that say, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. And today we come here because we have a thoughtful, committed group here at UUFSD. They are coming together to try and change our world, and that is the pastoral care team. A couple of years back, my mother-in-law died. Alice and I flew back to North Carolina and spent a few days there as preparations were made for the funeral. I was amazed by what we experienced over that week. People in this rural community in North Carolina, mostly still members of two Baptist churches there, came out and drove to support this family and each other. There was an amazing amount of food. People showed up with extra chairs. Some guy just came to the door with ice, thinking we might need it for drinks. There was an outpouring of love for my mother-in-law and for the family she had raised. In many ways, it reminded me of the Jewish community where I grew up, where much of the same rituals took place. When my grandmother died, it was much the same thing. Food and chairs and ice. And really different food than the Southern food that we had. And I thought about these things many times as a UU minister. I've wondered about our busy lives. And how the anti-religious, anti-church history that is a product of modern Unitarian Universalism has affected our sense of church obligation and community. I thought about our ability to create a community of care that is for one another, that chooses to put in their time to serve, even when it seems more like a should than a want. But it's not. Because when we serve each other, when we take the challenge of building this community, when we work together towards common goals, it is a transformative act. It can bring joy and pleasure and purpose and meaning. And it makes me think about our broader scope and vision. Do we really want to transform the world? If so, is this really a place to model and promote love, spiritual growth, service, right relations, and sustainable living? I think the answer is yes, because these acts of transformation can ripple out in ways we could never plan and maybe never even imagine. The pastoral care team, they've taken this challenge. They've taken the challenge to be a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens. They've taken the challenge to believe that there is more to the world than just them. They engage with otherness. They reflect on it. They're allowing for time to change, for change to take hold, and they're being intentional about a place for change to happen. They're also not believing that this effort is futile or expedient, and they're not timid about resting in their comfort. They're hoping that they can make and create teams within this congregation that will make a difference in the lives like people like Tiffany Fox. What they're doing is another and a long series of steps to transform our congregation into a force of love, spiritual growth, service, right relations, and sustainable living. It takes time for these things to happen. And I would go to my hope that's beyond these walls or beyond these efforts. We need a new membership team. For this, who will step forward? We want to help support families and undocumented workers caught in the political struggle of a capitalistic system. For this, who will step forward? We need to help curb the senseless deaths caused by gun violence. For this, who will step forward? Money's always needing to be raised here. It's not a sexy job, but for this, who will step forward? We need to teach our children values and principles in our classrooms on a Sunday morning, maybe missing the service. For this, who will step forward? Yes, there are so many needs, and each of us have decisions to make about what we'd like to spend our time on. This is a place where we can create a deeper sense of connection and community. This is a place that needs your time and your energy to thrive. This is a place where you can serve others and have an impact on our collective future. This is a place where we can soothe pain. This is a place where, if we choose, we can make a difference in the future of the world. At times, it is understandable that we believe that there's nothing one man or one woman can do against the enormous array of the world's ills, against misery and ignorance and injustice and violence. Yet many of the world's greatest movements of thought and of action have flowed from the work of one single human being. And then they've rippled out to change the world. Imagine what we all could do together. Amen.